Today we're talking about God's faith. Okay? We've been talking about three types of faith. We've been talking about human faith. We've been talking about demonic faith. And today we're talking about God's faith. Now, let me tell you that the hardest thing to talk about is God's faith. Why? Because Bible is written about us. If you read the Bible, you'll know who you are. By knowing God, you'll know who you are. Okay? So Bible is about us. A lot of people say, oh, I need to read my Bible to get closer to God. That's not why you read your Bible. You read your Bible to know who you are, what your potential is, what God created you for, what is your purpose in life, what are you supposed to do here, and where are you going after you go, you pass this life. So Bible is the book about us. So the more we know who we are, the more we get to know Him, the more we know who we are, and it just works back and forth. Okay? So when we talked about human faith, I want us to kind of talk to one another today. And what is human faith? Human faith is a combination of wisdom of men and power of men, or will power. Okay? Human faith is attractive because of its achievements. Now, you can tell a person who has human faith. They achieve great things in life. Amen? They climb great mountains. They build great ships. They build airplanes. That's all done not because of God's faith. That's all done because of human faith. Human faith is a natural born ability given to each one of us at birth. Amen? You have faith. You have faith in your... before people get married, they believe. They have faith that this marriage is going to work. We need faith in every area of our life. We are faith people. Even atheists have faith that there is no God. Okay? So, human faith is attractive because of its achievements. We know great people, and that's because they've accomplished something. Now, when somebody acts great, what do we call it? Pride, because they didn't achieve anything. But when you achieve, you know, and listen, each one of us have different level of achievement. For a mother, it's a great achievement to raise good kids. It takes faith. You know, for maybe a businessman, it takes something, you know, to achieve. Maybe for scientists, it takes, faith to achieve some kind of a discovery. It takes faith on different levels. So don't beat yourself up if you think, well, I didn't climb a mountain. That means my faith is small. No. Each one, Paul says, each one has a measure of faith given to us. And then he says, don't think of yourself higher than according to your faith. Don't prophesy greater things that you don't have faith for. Remember, we created this new word called faith works. Faith that, see, a lot of us, we call faith wishful thinking. We call wishful thinking faith. Dreaming is not faith yet. It's a process to faith. Hoping is not faith yet. Faith is action. Bible says now faith is. Listen to me. Faith is now. Whatever you are doing now, that's what your faith is. The reason I'm here preaching is because I have faith. And that's what I'm doing. The reason you're running your business or having such a job or going to school is because you have faith for it. The reason you're not doing it, but you have a big dream, big vision, but you're not doing it, is because you're still in a hope stage. And hope is good. But unless hope becomes faith, and faith is acting now. Now faith is the actualization of things hoped for. That's what it is. You actualize that. You're actually doing something. In book of James, James writes, the brother of Jesus, he grew up in the same litter, you know. In the same
check or whatever you call it.
And he writes, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith from works. See, people see faith from your works. You can talk big and you can say, oh, I have this and that and this and that. But no, faith is what you're doing now. Faith is what you believe in now, and you're doing it. And it could be small. David, as he was a shepherd of the sheep, when a lion and a bear and a wolf would come to get his sheep, he had an opportunity. He could run away, which is fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. You fight or you flee. He had an opportunity to fight and get back what was his and belonged to him. Or he could flee and say, well, they're my dad's sheep, you know. Dad has so many more. One is not going to be a problem. As a Christian, you all face lion, bear, tigers. You face mountains. And instead of, and this is where your faith is being worked on. Have you noticed there's no such thing as problem-free life? There is always new challenges, new problems. Why? Because God is developing human faith. Problems come to challenge us. And they either make us people of faith or people who flee and lock the door and hide and say, God, please don't let him touch me. See, David didn't do that. When the time came and Goliath, who was a huge giant, like 8 feet tall, huge, I mean, when he came out for 40 days. Amen? Goliath came for 40 days, and what he did, he started cursing the people of God, and he started cursing their God. And Bible says that soldiers who came near him started running from him. So David was probably not the first one who was trying to get a look at him. There were some other ones saying, you know, tough guys. You know, everybody wants to make a name for themselves and be a hero. You know, King says, I'll give you my daughter. You can marry. And King says, your father's house will be tax-free. Imagine that. Imagine if Obama said, hey. Well. And so all the people that faced Goliath ran from him. But there was this one kid, David. And Bible says, he ran towards him. See, if you have faith in God, would God run from Goliath? Or would God wait for Goliath to come and get him? What does a stronger person do? He's just like, no way, I'm just going to, it's too long for you to come towards me. I'm going to go get you. There's mountains, and Jesus said, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, what is your mountain today? You have a mountain. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's a job issue. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your family. Whatever it is. You can run towards it or run away from it. If you run towards it, that's faith in action. And God cannot help but honor your faith. If you run away from it, God says, I can't work with this person. I have no room. Faith is the area where God works. If you take away faith and walk in fear, guess what? God has no room, and Satan has room. When Job, who was a righteous man, had something very interesting happen to him. He had 10 beautiful children, 8 sons and 2 daughters. I got this big revelation this week. I'm going to share it with you. And he was righteous, but they were, you know how kids are sometimes. You know, parents are good and kids are kind of sometimes, you know, going through that season and everything, you know, just the season. And Job, he had a fear in his heart. And what the Bible said, that he said, God, they had these big parties all the time. You know, he was a rich man, and they would have big parties at you know, they would visit one brother's house, second brother's, you know, I mean, it takes 10 days to go through, you know. And start again, you know, every 10 days at your house, you know. and so Job, being a righteous man, he says, what if they curse God? And he had fear. Oh my goodness, what if they curse God? What if my children do not serve God? Oh, what if they... And so what he did was he brought sacrifices. And God does not accept sacrifices of fear. Don't bring it in fear. That's why the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Not a fearful. Thank you. That's good. God loves a cheerful, not a fearful. But guess what? Job was, not that he was fearing to give, but the sacrifice was made because, oh, I hope nothing happens to my kids. I just love my kids so much and I hope that nothing happens to them. And then devil, Bible says when children of God got together, among them came the devil. When the sons of God came to the throne of God, among them came the devil. And he was so bold. And God says, devil, where you been? It's true. And he says, I walked the whole earth up and down, side to side. God is like, have you seen this man named Job? He's righteous. And guess what? The devil said to God, well, of course he's righteous. Look how much you blessed him. You put a hedge of protection around him. I can't touch him. Yeah, of course he's blessed. But he says, take away all his possession and see if he will not curse you. Notice what the devil is using. Interesting words he's using. The same words that Job used, because he says, I hope they don't curse God. So the greatest fear of Job was that he himself, his family, would curse God. Because he understood that everything he had was from God. But maybe his children and his wife didn't. We know his wife didn't. Because she said later, just curse God and die. So guess what devil is speaking through? See, it's not the wife that's so bad. The wife is not bad here. But the devil will use your fear and speak to you through a donkey if you want to. And notice, why does that word curse God comes up? Because that was the fear of Job. And later he says, what I feared has come upon me. And he said, I didn't enjoy life because I feared that something is going to happen to my children. Yeah, it says that there. Whoo. I had that fear. You had that fear. I had that fear that what if something happens to my employees? What am I going to do? And what it does, it opens the door. It breaks that hedge of protection around you. Listen to me. There's a hedge of protection around you, and that's faith hedge. You believe that no weapon formed against you will prosper. 1,000 will fall at your right side, 10,000 at your other side, and they will not come near you. You will step on a serpent, upon a lion, and on and on. I mean, there's so many promises in there. And if you claim them, if you believe them, if you believe my family will be successful, we will not be this, we will not be that, we will not be sick, we will not be divorced, we will not be separated. We're going to stay strong. If you claim that in your life, it will happen for you. That's the hedge of protection. But if you begin to fear, oh, I hope nothing will happen to them. Guess what? You're breaking the hedge. Don't break the hedge. That invisible force around you. Hallelujah. Faith is what's going to keep that hedge around you. Fear is what's going to break it. And God says, well, he has fear, so I'm going to have to allow you, Satan, to touch him. Test him. Because he fears. And fear is not faith. So God says, why don't you go ahead and test him? I want to see too. Although God knows, God says, go ahead. And Satan takes his all that he has. And then comes again and says, yeah, you... Yeah, those things he didn't care for, material things. Why don't you take his body and strike his body? And God says, I'm not going to strike his body, but you can. Don't touch his life, though. He touches his body, and his wife says, because he's scratching himself with pieces of clay, dry clay, just scratching himself with shingles.
and I mean just hurting him. And his wife sees his pain and says, curse God and die. And he says, no. And then he learned that God is in control. And when he did, he repented and said, God, you know everything. You know you're in control. Doesn't matter what happened. I'm not going to live in fear. Yeah, bad things might happen, but I'm not going to fear it. Because you are in control. And God said, multiplied everything. He doubled everything that he had. And he became richest man again in the East. And this suffering took, some people say it took 14 years. Some people said it took 14 years. This wasn't a 2 months thing, devil said, you know. God's timing is different than our timing, you know. It's easy to go 2 weeks, you know, maybe with pain. But going years without seeing God come through for you, that's a big deal. What are you going to do? Are you going to curse him? See, the whole point of test is time. See, a lot of us, we can believe for a little bit. But when time passes and nothing happens, God says, would you still trust me? Will you still trust them? Don't fear. Pray. Use faith. Claim the promises of God. Claim the blessings of God on your life. Let the word of God be your shield all around you. Whenever fear comes, begin to claim. Whatever people start talking bad about you, say, I condemn those words. Because that's biblical. And every word that rises up against you, you will condemn. You have a power to condemn the words. They won't have effect on you. Use those promises. If they belong to us, church. Hallelujah. And as we're going to a different level, Tanya and I begin to see more spiritual activity in our life. Good and not so good. And as you go closer with God, you'll begin to see things. There's going to be spiritual activity going on around you. And you can say, I don't want none of that. You know, that's kind of out there. It's no, no, no. Or you can say, no, no, Lord, I want everything you want. Everything you have for me. I want that. Hallelujah. I didn't finish something. Human faith is a solo song. It's by yourself. What is the danger of human faith? I told you this. Pride. A person achieves great things because of their faith, says, I am God. I don't need God in my life. I am God. Remember we read that in the Bible? I am God. I'm smarter than Daniel now. I'm richer than Job and or Solomon or whatever. So it makes a person... Human faith is a hidden rebellion against God. The danger of human faith that it could be a hidden rebellion against God. See, you say, I don't need God in my life. That's a hidden rebellion. Get it? When people say, I'm doing this, I know God won't like it. What do they mean by that? That's a hidden rebellion. That's not an open rebellion. That's not saying, God, I hate you, this and that, I hope you die or something. God cannot die, obviously. See what I mean? It's a hidden rebellion against God. Now, what is demonic faith? It's a combination of demonic wisdom, and demonic power. You remember when Satan tempted Eve? What did he say? You will have the knowledge of good and evil. Human knowledge is limited. There's more knowledge than just human knowledge. There's people who go into trances and start writing and get revelations from beyond, they call them. They do chanting and speak with spirits, which is against God. God doesn't like that. But there's other knowledge. And there's other power. So demonic faith is demonic wisdom. Bible says there's wisdom that's demonic in Book of James. Correct? Help me out. And demonic power. Devil does have power. He's powerful. See, he's powerful than human beings. We're more powerful in Jesus' name.
We have authority in Jesus' name, but not in ourselves. Amen? See, we all have God drive inside of us. But let me say something. We also have a Satan virus in our body. It's called sin. See, God put Himself in us. The Bible says He has put eternity in our heart. But guess what? When first man sinned, it's like a software virus that slows down the hard drive, you know, in your computer. That's what sin is. And the closer we get to God, the more that virus is removed. And while we're here on earth, it's not completely removed. But we have power over it. We can still function. And function really good. Amen? Hallelujah. So demonic faith is a duet. What is a duet when two people sing? It's like singing with the devil. Okay? Right? And why is demonic faith so attractive? Because it offers power, it offers glory, it offers riches. See, it's not only God who gives people riches and power and glory. When Jesus was fasting for 40 days, Satan came to him and says, look at all these kingdoms of the world. If you bow down and worship me, I will give you all that. Yeah, and I'll give it now. See, God says, Jesus, you're going to have it anyway. It's yours anyway. And through the cross, you're going to redeem this whole universe. But Satan says, no, I'll give it to you now without the cross, without the pain, without sweat and labor and tears. Uh-huh. See, so Satan will come. He has to me, he has to some of you. And says, listen, this God's way, it's too long. Why don't you just give me a little bow, you know, just a little bitty one, and worship me. And Jesus says, no, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him alone you shall serve. I'm not going to worship you. I'm going to do it God's way, because God's way is long-lasting. We know people who gave their life to, that give their souls to the devil, you can say. I don't know if they did it openly, writing some blood contract, or they did it by just serving Him. He destroys them later. Talented people die early. Why? Satan doesn't care about us, humans. We remind him of God. We look like God, and he hates God. So guess what? And we're his children, right? Guess what? If you can't hurt, Tanya said this, if you can't hurt the father, hurt the children. You'll bring him more pain. That's what Satan, he hates you. So don't make a deal with the devil. Don't duet with the devil. No, I'm honest. And he'll come and tell you, you know, things and says, do it, make a shortcut here. Do this. Try not to make any deals with the devil, please. So it's a duet. Demonic faith is an open rebellion against God. If human faith is a hidden rebellion, demonic faith is an open rebellion. That's like, I don't want God. I hate God. I want nothing to do with God. And I'm going to join with His enemy. I'm going to join with the one who He kicked out of heaven and get His power. Why people do that? It's above me. And why would they want to do it? But some people do that. So today we're going to God's faith. And we want to understand just a little bit about God's faith, okay? So let's read in Mark 11, verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree, having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. Then when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not a season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, to the tree, right? He spoke, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And disciples heard it. So it was audible. Okay. Now let's go to verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. Notice it didn't happen right away. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, teacher, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, let's go back to verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. That's a complicated verse because it's not translated absolutely correctly. Now, in Russian translation, I'm going to say it, imejte veru Božiu. It's translated this way, have God's faith. In English, it could be translated like this, have God's type of faith. So here Jesus is saying, it's great that you have human faith. It's bad that you have demonic faith. But that's not the faith that's the most powerful. He's saying, have God's type of faith. God's type of faith is the faith that God uses. And some of you might ask, does God have faith? That's a religion. Why does God need faith? He's God. Well, guess what? Faith is what makes God, God. We were born human with human faith. And God is God because of His faith. If God had little faith, would He be unlimited? That's the question. If God had little faith, would He be unlimited? Would He be God? If God had little faith, did you think about it? If God had small faith, remember Jesus accused His disciple and said, oh, you of little faith. Man, I'm tired of you. You're so little faith, people. He would do these great things and they would be like, whoa. He's like, come on, guys, use your faith. Why would Jesus say to use faith something that they had no ability to produce? That means what? They had ability to have faith and they had ability not, and they could choose not to have faith. So Jesus said, have faith. Have God's type of faith. Now Jesus was God and everything He did because of faith. It's faith that made Jesus Jesus. Would Jesus be Jesus without His faith? Why? Because He would talk big, but there was nothing to prove. That's why He walked on water. I don't know what's the purpose, but maybe just to prove that He's God. That's why He multiplied bread and fish. That's why He made water into wine. That's why He healed the sick and crippled and all kinds of diseases. That's why He was raised from the dead. It's that power that raised Him from the dead. That's the faith that He had. He knew He was going to be raised from the dead. Faith is a powerful force that you have, you've been born with. But your faith is limited. It reaches its roof really fast. And I'm not saying the faith of human being is weak. No, it's powerful. It's great. It can accomplish great things. But it's not enough. You have to connect your faith with God. You have to sing a duet with God. Don't just sing solo, you know. For I am great. I do miracles so great. And there's no one else like me. No, He's great. And when I connect my faith with His faith, it's a duet. We sing it together. Notice the church is called the Bride of Christ. That means a bride takes the name of her groom. So then it's not our faith anymore, it's God's faith. We're the bride of Christ. God's type of faith. Have God's type of faith. God would not be infinite unless His faith was infinite. God would not be God if He was not all powerful, and faith makes him all powerful. That's who he is. And another person, you look at them and you fear, fear, fear. You're like, what's wrong? And they're kind of always afraid. Have you ever seen a person like that? Why? Lack of faith. Low faith. Listen to me carefully here. The number one job of faith is restoration of human identity. Show me a person of fear who accomplished great things, who has great self-esteem. Show me that person. They're not existent. Usually people who have great self-esteem have great faith, even if it's on human level. And God says, you cannot please me without faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith, Bible says, even our faith. We overcome things, problems. We overcome the world, whatever comes against us, faith. Use that natural ability that you have. And then when you realize it's not enough, connect it with God and say, God, I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. Now we're talking about God's faith. Interesting thing about that, when a person who is a millionaire loses everything, they could gain another million not too long. You can say you made your million by luck, first million. But when people lose it and they make it again and more, and they lose it and they make it again, why? Faith. Why some of us are not? Lack of faith. We don't believe. We can do it. Come on. I'm talking some big stuff here, people. And we're raising stars here. For Jesus, for the glory of Him. I'm not raising the devil stars. No. If you become a devil star, you're going to be messed up. Trust me, it's not going to work. This blessing is not going to work on you. I already speak it over you, and it's not. You're going to be a star for Jesus' name. Through you, many lives would come to Him. Okay? So let's establish that. We're not going to be selfish, you know. And a lot of people like that. Self, 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 and then they implode and hurt themselves. So faith makes a person who he is. Faith makes God who he is. God would not be attractive and devil would take over if God was not a faith God. Amen. Jesus did everything by faith and he was God. Bible calls him the Word. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read it. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. What does void mean? Can anybody help me? Empty. So was there even earth? It was without form. So could it be a little rock flowing or a rock or stone? It had no shape, or what was it? Void. Void almost means empty. Like, I don't know what it was. But in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So earth was created, but it was just a piece of rock. Notice, even God has a process. He didn't say, earth, be, and just a trick, magic trick. Boom, look at this. And people are running around and they're mating and everything is just, I mean, the whole earth is beautiful. You know, the Garden of Eden was not all over the earth. It was just in the area of Iraq. Yeah. God created a little, he planted, he said. He planted, he didn't even create it. He planted a garden. Notice, where did he get those plants from? No, where did God get those plants? He said he planted a garden. And the rest of the earth had seeds. And they wouldn't grow until he would water the earth. Interesting. Guys, if you start studying the Bible, you start seeing crazy things. Let's read this. And the earth was without form, so there was no form. There was and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Could God take a little Play-Doh and just throw it there and said, create it, and then boom, and it was just spinning. Okay? And it was formless, had no form, so it looked like a piece of lump or something. It was formless, and it was void. It was empty. But listen to this. God did not just leave it there. Okay? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So there was waters, I guess, there too. But, so God created this place, and nothing happened until He spoke. Let's look at this. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, if we were to have faith, God type of faith, could we do this? Light be. And would it appear? No. Notice, the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. You needed a Spirit of God to create something. God, if God would have spoke something, nothing would have happened. Nothing. See, we think that God just said, let there be earth, and it just appeared. Like a magic trick, you know, that no. It was a scientific. See, God is sharing His technology with us. Faith is God's technology. And this is how it works. God has a thought in His heart, in His mind. You remember it says, we were, before we were here on earth, He already died. Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? That Jesus Christ already died before He died here physically. Where did He die then? In the plan department of the heart of God. God had a plan. God envisioned you. Paul says, God knew me before I was in my mother's womb. David says, before I was in my mother's womb, I was known by Him. You knew me. You had plans for me. You knew my first day and my last day. How? See, can we use this? God is a huge computer. Yeah, it's like He designs, He creates everything, and then He makes it happen. Guess what? If we want to be people of faith, we don't just speak things. Airplane B. No. You use your faith, but not that way. Let me give you an example that might be closer to our home here. When I was young, for some reason, I had this great passion to build a house. And I would go to Menards and look at the home plans. I'm telling you, once a week, they knew me up there. I would go to, you know, Menards and find books. And, you know, I couldn't afford to buy them, so I'd just stand there and look through them. If they had covers, I would rip them up and look through them. And I'll be dreaming, big dreams, 17, 18, 19. 20 came, and I built my first home. I was like, wow. So see, first, the idea is brewing in God's head, or in your head. A vision, a dream, a hope, whatever you want to call it. A plan is being made. Second, you start putting that plan into action. You start putting the components together. And then you have the desired results. With God, it's the same thing. God was thinking. God is, see, there's a difference between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is the big brain, as you can say. He is the creative source. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want to show you something out of Hebrews, chapter, I believe, 1. Okay, verse 2. Look at this. God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, that's Jesus, through whom also He made the worlds. It doesn't say one world, it says worlds. Jesus is the Word. See, God says, I didn't create it. I came up with the thought, idea. Jesus, by His words, created it. So first, what's the process of God? Thought, imagination, idea. We have the imagination too. That's why we call it little gods with G. Jesus said we're gods with little G. We made in His image, people. So we have to copy His technology. First, it's imagination, it's thought, it's idea, it's conceived, it's an incubator type thing. Second, it's the words we speak. Jesus said, if you speak to this mountain, Jesus spoke to the tree and cursed it. You speak. You begin to speak. I'm going to be debt free. My family is going to be together. My children are going to be blessed. You need to speak those things in your life. Whatever you speak, because if you say, oh, we're not going to make it. Oh, you know, our kids are going to be, you know, what's going to happen to our kids? No. What if I lose my job? Well, don't fear. God, if you don't fear, God already has another one planned for you. Already. Where you're going to be, it's going to be better. See, and so, second thing, we speak into our life. We never speak negative into our life. We never speak curses into our life. Never speak bad about your husband. Never speak bad about your wife. Never speak bad about your relationship, parents, friends. Never speak bad. Word of God is blessing. It's never curses. Satan is the one who curses. Jesus is the Word. So God is the thought, imagination, idea. It was all created in Him. Jesus is the one who spoke it. And that's why we have this Bible is Jesus right here. Because God could not say anything without Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So Word, notice it separates. Word was with God. Not God was with Word. Word was with God. And the Word was God. Because it was with God. Oh my goodness, it's beautiful. But then there's a third component. Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth. Holy Spirit is the field agent. He's the one that actually took the thought of God. Bible says no one knows the heart of the Father except the Spirit. So Spirit of God understood perfectly exactly what God was thinking, imagining. He saw it. Because He's part. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're one. So they know each other. They know each other's thoughts, but it's the Father who has the thought, Jesus who speaks the thought, because you need to speak it. Remember, words. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain, speak to your problem. David didn't just run to Goliath and kill him. He spoke back to him. He said, I'm going to cut your head off and give it to the birds. And that's what he did, exactly what he did. Paul says, I believed, and that's why I spoke. In Romans, my growth group, remember? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. First, you believe God's heart. Then you confess with your mouth. You will, whatever you will. In that context, it talks about salvation. But it might not be salvation anymore for you. You might be saved. Remember, salvation is the beginning part of Christian faith. Hebrews chapter 6. He says, let's put that apart already. Stop talking about only salvation. There's more. Read Hebrews chapter 6. There's more. Baptism, you know, all that stuff. He says, that's good. That's a beginning stage. There's more. And the Holy Spirit was on earth. And He was the active agent who actually accomplished everything that God does. And listen to me. Finally, I realized why Jesus said, it's better for me to go because you will receive the Holy Spirit. And I was like, why is it better? Do you know that Jesus was created on earth by the Holy Spirit? Remember Mary? Angel comes to her and says, you will have Son of God. And she says, how can it be? And what did Angel say? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High. So the thought God had. Angel spoke. And Holy Spirit came and accomplished it. Guys, Holy Spirit is available. It's in each one of us. We have to build a great relationship with Him. Because the words that we speak, if we are connected to God. The words that we speak, He's the one who accomplishes them. Holy Spirit is the one who creates. He knows exactly what we're thinking, even above what we're thinking. Remember, He's in us too. He knows our thoughts and our goals and dreams. Let me tell you, after I've been studying this and Holy Spirit has been revealing Himself to me, I'm like, Holy Spirit, you're my best friend. I'm telling you,
I've never said that before. If I did, because I read on Benny Hinn, in Benny Hinn's book. But now, it's not Benny Hinn anymore. It's him and me. He is my best friend. I want to be friends with this kind of guy, you know. You'd be dumb to not, you know, want have this power available to you, creative force available to you. And in the book, The Shack, I mean, it was beautiful how it was described. Some of you read that. I mean, the Holy Spirit was just such a beautiful thing, person in there. Holy Spirit is. And Jesus, Bible says, went and preached in the power of the Holy Spirit and began to heal the sick, and his name began to grow in the whole region. Holy Spirit. He says, God is not looking for theoretics anymore. Listen, God is not looking for preachers anymore who know a lot of theories and Bible. And he, remember, apostles, they were with Jesus 3.5 years. They heard so many sermons. Imagine how many sermons you heard. Jesus said, don't you dare depart from Jerusalem. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Don't go singing without Holy Spirit. Don't go preaching without Holy Spirit. Wait till He comes upon. He forbid them to go preach the gospel without the power of the Holy Spirit. So that you wait for Him. And after 10 days, in the day of Pentecost it was called, wind came from heaven and fell upon them, and fire. They could physically see it. We need to be friends with the Holy Spirit. We need to have Him create things. Because He is the one who creates things we speak. Obviously, we have to be connected to God. Sing a duet with Him. And He says, have God's type of faith. He thinks, He speaks, and Holy Spirit accomplishes it. Sometimes God will give you His thoughts. Not sometimes, most of the time. Jesus said, I don't do what I want to do. I do what I see my Father do. Remember that? So Jesus came for prayer, and God would show him a revelation, what He wants to do. He says, I'm going to do that. And Holy Spirit knows what God wanted to do, and Jesus was in line with God. So guess what? Holy Spirit accomplishes things. A lot of people get disappointed in Holy Spirit because they command Him to do what God doesn't want to do. They command Him to do their flesh desires and lusts of the flesh. It's like Holy Spirit, it's like you telling your wife, give me $50 so I can go sleep with my girlfriend. Have fun, you know, with a prostitute. That's wrong. That's how a lot of us are. You know, Holy Spirit, would you do this for me, please? Come on. He says, no. Because your thoughts didn't come from Father. Your thoughts came from your lust. You repent of that. And that's why we read this word, so our thoughts line up with God's thoughts. Because these words are His thoughts. He thought it. Jesus spoke it. Holy Spirit does it. Oh, I feel His presence in this place teaching us. Don't stand. Let's just pray the way we are. Hallelujah. You begin to understand this and begin to practice it. Bible says it's not the hearers of the word. It's the doers. God is not looking for theoretics anymore. God is not looking people puffed up and they know about every religion there is. God is looking who will do something. And God is doing it. You know, I'm not waiting to be blessed. I am living the blessing. You don't have to wait to be blessed. You can live it today. You can live it tomorrow in your workplace, in your business, in your school. Whatever you do, you can live it. Don't say, I'm waiting to be blessed. No. I'm going to live it because I live by faith. And the righteous shall live by their faith. And maybe the tree won't be cursed in the same hour you do it or the same minute you do it. But in 24 hours or 36 hours or 5 days or like my knee in a year and a half, it will come to pass. Bible says, whenever you pray, Jesus said this, believe that you have received and you shall have that. Doesn't matter how long it's going to take. And then in Habakkuk, let me show you. Hallelujah. Listen to this. It says, write the vision, make it plain, and wait for it.
although it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass, it will not tarry. Sometimes what you speak doesn't come to pass. God says, don't get disappointed. Your faith is still growing. Just wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. God said that this church will be full. And maybe it didn't come to pass like I thought it will. But it will surely come to pass. I'm waiting. We're going to be an evangelistic church. We're going to win people for Christ, because that's a greater maturity level. Now everybody's getting fed, but when we're fed up, we'll go and start feeding people and inviting them and nurturing them as babies. We will be there giving birth to babies and maturing them in Christ. Hallelujah. If it tarries, wait for it, because it will come. This is the word of God. This is what God is saying. Maybe you're waiting for something and you prophesied and that didn't happen right away. Wait for it, because it will surely come. But then listen to this. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The proud will say, that's it. I don't want nothing to do with this. It didn't come to pass. God said it. It didn't come to pass. But the just shall live by faith. So this is how God is testing and weeding out the proud. He says, I'll just wait. I won't give it to them right away. I'll weed those tares out. And the proud says, I don't want nothing to do with this, God. Look, the time I was thinking this is going to be happening already in my life, and it's not. And so he quits. And God says, okay. But the just says, wait for it, because it will surely come. Whatever you're praying for, whatever you're believing for, it will come. Maybe it will tarry a little bit, but it will come. If it tarried for Jesus 24 hours, Jesus had to wait 24 hours for that tree to dry up. It'll take at least 24 hours. Maybe a little longer, because we're not Jesus. But it'll surely come to pass.